being a foster dog?
Yes.
So we have to keep the dogs separated because one will eat the other.
And oh, God, you can't have that.
So now I have two dogs I don't want in the house. But anyway, enough about that. So we have to take them out one at a time. And it's just frustrating. We have to, the things we have to do.
And so what happened to your head?
So in the morning, I take dipshit number one out first. His name's known as Memphis. So I take him out the side door.
He's a good boy.
Which is by my office. And if you've seen our family room, the office is like a wayward space for everything we don't want to put up.
That's my walk-in closet.
This is turning into a walk-in closet. So I'm going and I'm kind of rushing because I have the Saxon Pub show that night. And I'm trying to get all my stuff together. It's really early in the morning, but still I like to be ready to go, especially when I have to drive a few hours to get to a show. And I have to take the other dog out too. Julia's getting ready to leave for the weekend to go hang out with her family. So all this crap is going on. So I'm sitting down trying to get the set list printed out while Memphis is outside doing the deed. So it's time for me to get him. So I stand up and I'm walking over to the door, which is about two steps. I got two steps into it. And he's been spending the day with me by laying on his, I don't know, mat. Well, these floors are very slippery. So I slipped on the mat and caught myself, but not before my head struck the doorknob handle.
Oh.
So there was like a big crash.
Yeah.
And blood everywhere.
Oh, God. Like it busted open.
It busted open. Yeah. So on the day of the show. So I have this busted head.
And blood because it bleeds so
and
bad.
I really know that my family loves me because I went to the other side of the house and said, hey, did you hear that? And they go, yeah.
We heard it.
That's mean. It's just so mean.
Nobody checked on you at all?
No
in
one.
In the chaos?
It was silence. Not even the dog.
Well, the dog was probably like, I'm in trouble. I'm just going to stay over here.
Well,
I'm
it wasn't the dog's fault.
Yeah, but the dog doesn't care. The dog doesn't care. You're mad.
He was like, that fat boy almost fell on me. Dodge that bullet.
Dodged
so it. Anyway, so the whole day ended up being us monitoring.
Yeah, whether you have a concussion, you needs to be sewn up.
But anyway, so I was bleeding the whole day. And then fortunately, I have a doctor as my drummer. So when I got there, I said, hey, I need you to watch my head. If my head starts bleeding, you got to do your doctory thing and fix me up.
Did you put any liquid Band-Aid on it?
I did. We had to go get some. We just don't keep that around the house.
I mean, because why would... Right.
Well, Mabel might try to glue my butt cheeks together. You just never know with that child.
I don't think she'd try to glue your butt cheeks together, but you might get fake lashes put somewhere.
She would.
How was the show, though?
It was all right, I think.
Did it go better than last time?
Oh, it went so much better last
time. Smoother.
We were on our first drummer, not our fourth drummer.
That's
so
that was good. Fucking drummers.
At fucking drummers. God damn it. So they came and everyone showed up and we did the show. And yeah, there are a lot of things I would have liked to have gone differently because we were recording the video of it and stuff.
That's right.
And I just feel awkward when I'm on video. And then I look at it and I'm awkward too. So I look like, who's that dude from Talladega Nights? Ricky Bobby?
I guess.
Doing a part where he's talking and he's like, I don't know what to do with my hands.
Oh, yeah. The hands thing's like, what do I do with my hands?
Yeah. And so, except it's not my hands. It's like my entire existence.
Your
my
soul.
Body.
My whole soul. I don't know what to do with my soul. My being.
But I did get to meet Patrice Pike, and she's like a big star in the Austin area. Did have a hit with Sister Seven in the 90s. And so I got to meet her. That was pretty
cool.
I met her after the show.
Is she cool? And,
she was really sweet.
Nice.
She was really sweet. You know what? When I was at the show, everyone had to ask because I had to have something on it to create pressure so the injury wouldn't bleed.
Yeah.
And Rick's person he likes, she goes, "Are you okay? That's where your temporal lobe is, all your right. main thinking." And I was like, well, someone called it my anal lobe, but I didn't think it was funny. Referred to my temporal lobe as my anal lobe. That's, people are just mean these days.
Go ahead.
You just ruined it. I was in a good headspace.
Shut up, no.
Even with the head injury.
I know, I'm
just
sorry.
Totally effed it up.
Oh, man.
So, our next guest emerges like a blaze from the Midwest, leaving a scat acoustic funk in his wake. His songwriting is an eclectic tapestry with a cascading Damien Rice / James Blunt vocal palette. His hair, a luxurious mane, with a well-groomed Zappa stash. But not today.
Not today.
Please welcome the Z-Man Experience.
Hello.
Thank you for having me. Good to be here. Good to be here.
Thank you for being had.
All right. Here we go, King.
So can I do the first question?
Absolutely. Sure.
So I was looking at your stuff, and your presence as a musician might be different than what you initially started out as. So my question is, was the transition from Clark Kent to Z-Man an evolution, and how did it happen?
As far as my like stage name goes?
Yes.
Yes. So that goes back to pretty much when I was like around 12 years old. I used to hang out at this park called East River Van Beaver. And I would go to this park every year. They're called parkies. So they, while our parents were, you know, at work, all the neighborhood kids would be going to this park and hanging out. And every year there'd be like this talent show. Okay. Where you could do like magic, you could sing, you could dance, you can do whatever you want. Okay. And, I'm like, well, I don't really know what I'm doing when I'm singing, but I really like the band Three Doors Down. And, I really love the song called Superman. It just came out. 12 years old, really stoked for it. I'm like, all right, I'm just going to try singing it. And then I had a couple neighborhood friends living down the road from me. And then it was the day of the talent show. We were kind of rehearsing, you know, 2 weeks before, you know, being goofy kids. And it was the day of the show on stage. And it's just dead silent. There's probably like, I don't know, 50 people there or in the neighborhood there to see the show. I'm scared. I'm nervous. Nothing's happening. Our old neighbors, Dennis and Jenny Laundry, Dennis shouts out, "Go Z-Man, go!" And the crowd just starts going, "Z-Man, go Z-Man, go!" And I'm like, oh, that's cool. And so that's kind of how like the nickname started, Z-Man. It kind of, then the song started, and then, you know, I suppose the rest was history. Yeah, years have gone by though, and I just kind of steered away from the nickname a little bit until I started playing acoustic guitar. And I needed a cool stage name that kind of represents my style and aesthetic. It really wasn't until I was 20 when Z-Man born, really, in a sense, you know, and I kind of took it more seriously, stepping up to the plate and performing more. So, yeah.
So you were 12. You left it for a little while, even
I
though
did.
Your fans named you. But then in your 20s, you came back home.
I came back.
That's
I
how
came
back
picked
home.
Up the moniker.
Yeah.
Carried the weight forward.
Exactly.
Cool. That's a good story. I like it. I was never named by the crowd. It's family members that named me.
Yeah, that's all right. You got to,
particularly,
you know,
nieces and nephews.
You got to be named by somebody, you know.
So you have a really unique sound. It's a vintage sound to me. You sort of bring me back to the 60s a little bit. Who are your influences?
That's a good question. My influences, because when I'm writing songs, I'm not thinking about, oh, I'm going to sound like this, or I'm going to sound like Cat Stevens. I just play, you know what I mean? And then I look back and I'm like, okay, this actually kind of reminds me of, a segment of this song. The bridge part kind of reminds me of little Cat Stevens or a little Beatles-esque or even Frank Zappa or like the Muppets would make this kind of song or something. It just depends on the segment of the tune, you know what I mean?
Right.
So, and I'm still growing and evolving as an artist, and my songs are still growing. So, but my biggest influences as of right now hands down, are still the Beatles. I still love The Doors and Frank Zappa. And I really like Houndmouth. It's kind of like a kind of like oldish, newish band, you know. I love their sound, too. It's kind of more like old school rock and roll. I love their stories about drug use and partying too much. And, you know, I like those kind of stories. And kind of reminds me of what I was doing when I was growing up. But, yeah, I just love good storytelling. I love Bob Dylan and I love Eric Clapton. And, yeah, even like the Pixies and all those kind of guys. So
is it wrong to think that when I saw you, I thought Zappa, but then when I heard you, I was like, I wonder if he does the crazy things on stage that Zappa did, you know?
Well, I do tend to fall down on stage and do like, you know, the punk rock. I do more like punk rock stances, what I mean? Like, yeah, I kind of drop to my knees or maybe just fall on the floor kind of thing, like in between songs. And, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do. It's a live performance, so it's more like an improv kind of show. I kind of feed off the audience. I definitely feed off the audience. I'm all about the energy, you know?
So do you talk a lot?
I do. Like, yeah, I do talk a lot, you know? Like
I'm
I said,
surprised.
Really?
That just means you're his kind of people, because that's what he does.
Good.
Yeah. It's just what he does.
I don't know when to shut up, really, sometimes. I get in trouble.
Neither does Brent. Gets us in trouble. And I spend more time editing out going, he's going to get us canceled.
You know when you went too far is everyone is like really quiet.
Oh, yeah.
That's when you've gone too far.
Yeah, they're looking for the electrical cord to pull the plug. You know,
the hook's coming out from the side.
Guy. Yeah. Yeah. They got the cane ready to yank me by the neck and get me off stage like Looney Tunes.
That's
it, folks.
Mm-hmm. That was pretty good.
That's what I sounded.
Thank you.
That's how
Thank
I sounded you. This morning after when my face was numb.
So Making Me Thin. I love that song. That is my favorite song.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you.
The intro was weird because I was like, is this damn thing on? What the fuck? So I kept turning it up, and then finally, it's like you're walking towards me because it slowly, slowly approaches the listener. It's really crazy. Yeah. Really cool.
It was more like a mistake. We're like, oh, actually, that sounds really – we're kind of like just messing around with the recording in the beginning of the song, me and my buddy, Jeremy. And we're like, oh, that sounds like a vinyl. Like, oh, that's a cool effect. So we just ended up just leaving it the way it was. Cause to me, the imagery is kind of like you're wrapping up a present and you're going and you're just opening up and boom, here we go to a whole new land. You know, like we're in this whole new realm of just sexiness and, you know, like, yeah, it's just it's a thick dose of a groovy song coming up. You know what I mean? It's a cool intro to a tune, kind of grabs the listener.
Hey, it was a great idea because I have you up. I've had you up in the background just kind of digesting what you're putting out. And I actually stopped twice listening to you twice when it came to that song. Stopped and was like, damn it. What the hell's wrong with this headset? Both times. You got me both times. So
is this thing on?
My favorite line in that song, which is it's just a great line. It's because all that we know is we've got to pursue. We are younger than tomorrow. It's a unique IOU. Is that what that is? Is that the line?
No. We are younger than tomorrow. It's just me and you.
Oh, okay.
It's like we're together. You know, we're like sharing a song together. You know what I mean? Like, so I just love that line too. Thank you. Yeah. It's
a good line.
Yeah, it's just I like music about – I like truth. I like getting right to the point. I'm not sugarcoating anything, you know.
It has a great sing-along part too. Love to sing along with that song. But my question is, you're a good guitarist from what I was listening because I love guitar. So you could overplay on that song and other songs. So what type of situation sets you off and makes you overplay – you know what? Just like really gets in you and you're like, I'm just going to tear it up on this one? What kind of situation?
When I'm done pushing the fuck out of it. If I can swear on this.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Go ahead, man.
I just kind of play by the moment. You know what I mean? Like now I could do that song. We've done that song like 30 different ways. Okay. Like each song I can do a, you know, different thing each time because of my vocals in my guitar work. You know what I mean? So like I can do a lead part over it. I can just what's called, you know, hybrid picking or whatever you want to call it, you know, do a little flat picking on it. But like that's more like for a live setting, I would do that. And then in the recording studio, I would just let her rip, saying everything I want to say within that rhythmic section, and then add on top, you know, the lead parts and the sprinkles of the stars and the sun, if that makes any sense.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
It should be a lyric.
It is now.
It is actually a pretty lyric.
Yeah. I'm like, who's writing this down?
Of the stars and sun.
Yeah. Well, it's already done. Nice.
Yeah, sorry,
we just wrote a song.
Oh, we
together,
did it,
guys.
Oh, we did. Everybody, TM. I like that. You are a very good guitarist, and like he said, you don't really show it off as much. It's more of like to push the song forward.
Right.
Just guitarist wise, who was the guitarist you heard that made you go, "Oh my God, I have to do that. If I don't do that, there'll be something wrong with my life"? Well, because we all have one artist. It's not like the influence question, because I asked that, but we all have that one artist that we heard or we saw live that made that like opened up the world.
Brian May from Queen. That goes from like the other song, Give It Away. I think those lead parts are like Brian May, Queen-esque, you know, in the bridge part. We're not talking about the song right now, but
I know I hear what you're talking about.
And that kind of bleeds into my other rhythmic section and everything. And Santana too, hearing him for the first time when I started playing guitar, and like Dave Matthews too. I love his guitar work. Dave Matthews is an exceptional guitarist. I know a lot of people bash him, but that's only because
Dave Matthews is one hell of a guitar player.
Okay, that people bash him, but let me tell you, those people can't play like him. That's why they're jealous. You know what I mean? Hands down, he plays his first finger with his pinky. You know what I mean? Like the guy is exceptional. I even like the choppiness. I know Jimmy Page is a great guitar player too. I love his like choppiness. His guitar solos are really have a lot of character to him, and just the simplicity of George Harrison's strum work is just angelic and mesmerizing too. And Cat Stevens.
What was your first concert?
My first concert?
Yeah.
Hanson. But that's that's like in third grade. That's in third grade though. You know, like
you know what though? I mean, it could be worse. I mean, your age, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like I can't talk shit. My first concert was ICP, so I can't talk shit.
Yeah, I'm a 90s
I just
kid.
Wasn't like, expecting yeah. it.
Yeah.
Well, my first concert was my parents were like super Christian and stuff. And so we went to see the Blackwood Brothers and their quartet.
Cool.
And they sing all Christian songs. Yeah. But their bass player was really amazing because he would make. Now, this was in the 70s, but he would kind of make those songs with those sounds with the microphone and stuff. Just fun songs and little ditties and stuff. A little bit different than the rest of the band. Yeah, I was a Christian, so it's kind of awkward.
Yeah, I mean, we're just dead silent.
Not that I have a problem.
I mean, we're like, I think he's
talking too much right now. Uncle Brent's talking too much. No,
no. There's nothing wrong with it, but yeah. I mean, hey, that was the first choir I was in was church and school, so I can't talk shit.
I just look back now
and go, oh, that was just mild brainwashing. My bad.
Right, yeah. I mean, you get like your recorders out. They're playing in the recorder in school.
Oh, remember the recorders? Yep. Oh, yep. My mother hated it.
Gosh, what an instrument.
Mine disappeared a lot, and it was my fault.
It was just underneath my bed.
No, my mother was chucking them in places, like trying to hide them.
You know there are professional recorder players.
Hey, and they're amazing. Hey, yeah. But it's a 12-year-old in your house. Do. Screaming on a recorder thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, my poor mother.
I used to work with a guy that was a professional recorder player. And I went and saw him once and I was like, That was pretty much all I said.
Yeah.
He just blew my mind. It was like... Yeah.
Talk about social media. And the reason I'm bringing it up is because you are on. I just was watching his live.
Yeah.
I pop into anybody we interview. I'll pop into their live like once a week. It may not stay long, but I'm like, hey, what up? And then I'd like jump out.
Uh-huh.
You've made some really interesting videos. My favorite ones are the ones where you have the like Woodstock background. And you're like, imagine you're at Woodstock.
Right.
And they're like, if you took the blue acid, please see the medical tent.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Those videos really went.
Those videos were how I found you.
Really?
Because I was like, this guy's hilarious. Does he actually do music? And then you fucking did. And I was like, awesome.
So I guess they're working.
they worked for me.
That's good. That's good.
They worked for me. But I mean, yeah. I have a very interesting FYP. But yeah, they worked for me.
Do you like social media?
Do I like social media? I'm going to say, I mean, yes, I do.
Is it a double-edged sword for you?
A little bit, yeah. Because like in my heart and soul, I am an old-school hippie. You know, if sometimes I believe I was born in the wrong era, you know.
And so my mom says about me.
Yeah, so, but like at the end of the day, I'm like, I'm connecting. I'm using this as a tool to connect and find friends and fans to help build my career as a musician. So, and if I can make funny videos and find people, that's all that really matters. And it's working. Yeah. So I'm going to say, yes, I do like social media, yet I don't like social media.
And there here, I commented on one of your posts because you delayed one of your songs. You were getting some haters. We were talking about it. We can say it.
Yeah, yeah.
Patreon.
All the songs.
You're going to get them no matter what, which is why I haven't gotten really in front of the camera much because I couldn't handle it. How did you bounce back from that? Because I think that's something musicians are going to have to get very fucking used to. Like the days of you only seeing me on stage and in an interview are gone.
Right.
So how do you tackle that?
I use it to my advantage.
Okay.
So what I do, if there's a hater like, oh, this song fucking sucks, I'm like, thank you. I'm going to reply to your comment in a video. Then all my fans will come together as one, as the Z-Man entity, and attack you. You know what I mean? So like that's, I'm using your hatred as a tool, as a balance to push me up. Okay.
Like, you used one of our comments and it freaked me out. Cause I thought, oh my God, is this person going to be mad at me? Like that is how my brain works. Cause I was like, fuck those haters.
Right. No, I thank you for that comment. It helped, you know? Yeah. So that's what I do. I use it as a tool, as an advantage to help me.
So and I know there's thick skin.
You have to. This is the music business, you know? Yeah. You have to. You can't really take those haters too seriously because at the end of the day, 9 times out of 10, they are envious of you. Okay. They don't play guitar. They don't know how to sing a tune. They have 8 followers on with 0 videos and they're just out there zapping everybody, trying to bring them down to their level. You know, that's my take on it. I like know,
so I use social media to share sarcasm with other people.
That's good.
But they shut me down, man.
What do you mean?
The applications themselves shut me down. I got froze out of Instagram and I was like, what the fuck? I didn't even want to talk
about hot coals. Yeah, I'm serving up some hot coals here.
I'm walking on open my coals. Stove.
Don't say that out loud because that's where he wants you, man. Like,
yes.
So this one was a cool, aggressive intro.
And a great video.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And then
Thank
the transition you. From the verse to chorus. Perfect. Once again, you have a great sing-along section, which, you know, if I'm in my vehicle with my daughters, me and my 6-year-old can scream stuff at the top of our lungs. Some of us, some parts we can't, but other parts we can. So I appreciate that. And then the outro.
Yes, the outro.
Has the interesting vocal scat. I come from the country, so when I say scat, I always feel awkward because the scat can mean 2 different things. I'm meaning the vocal scat, people, not the other kind of scat. So my question is, how did you develop the falsetto melody and scat vocals on that song? Because you have a great falsetto, and then when you do the scat, it just like crazy. Like, tell me about that.
That was a complete accident.
Damn it.
Complete accident. I don't know how. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, it was just,
make
I don't
something
know what to
up,
tell you.
Dude. Just make something up. I've been over to pick up the soaps. I fell and hit my head on a doorknob. I was
that
walking
song,
my dog.
I wrote that song I wrote that song right when I started playing guitar. You know what I mean? This is like 14, 15 years ago, and I was still living with my mom. You know what I mean? Like, this is when I first started playing music, and I was in trouble. Well, you know, I got, you know, just a little history far as a musician, you know, I was hanging out with the wrong crew. You know, of course, you know, we get lost as a kid trying to figure out who we are as an artist, or like who we are as like a person, you know, what we should do in our lives. And I was partying a lot, and you know, I got in trouble with the cops, and I needed to my mom wanted me to do something, go to school for marketing, and I didn't want to do that, and I dropped out. I didn't go to, you know, I lasted for maybe like a semester, and I ended up getting busted, and I had this old Schecter guitar laying in my closet that I sold a bag of weed for from my friend Josh, and for $50, and I ended up going, you know what, screw this, I'm doing what I want to do, I'm not listening to anyone else. And I ended up grabbing that guitar out of my fucking closet, dusted it off, and went to Dick's Music Shop, and I started just taking lessons from my friend Dennis Panic, you know, who was my guitar instructor for 7 years, in Green Bay and West Mason Street, every Thursday at 11:30 in the morning. And I started playing Bob Marley Redemption Song and Hotel California by the Eagles, and before I knew it, I was writing my own stuff, and I started scatting and boop bop bop chicka bop down chicka bow, you know, just getting all this anger out and frustration into motion. And that's how I developed my own signature sound that you're hearing today, as it evolved over the years. You know, definitely didn't sound like that years ago. It sounds like that now, you know, a mature sound, and I'm still learning and I'm still playing, you know, so I'm still, there's a long road ahead, you know, and I'm happy to be on it.
Man, Redemption Song's a tough song to sing. I mean, it is for me anyway, because of how he hangs on the lyrics and then changes the chords. It's just,
yeah.
It's really interesting. I mean, it's a good song in general, just about what it's talking about. Song. But the actual technique that he uses in that song is really cool.
Yeah.
So your falsetto melody and your scat vocals are all accident.
All accident. I didn't even know how to sing. I was just saying things that I thought sounded good.
You know what's great? The musicians that we interview that I feel like are really, really good songwriters always say some shit like that. Not that it's not wrong. Not that you're wrong. Not that it's shit. That came out wrong. But you guys always say the really intricate songwriters that I'm like, oh, I can't wait. They're like, it was an accident. Or I had 30 minutes before it was due. And I'm just like.
And you know, I'm stuck
on the same song for fucking 6 months. And you're like, oh, it's an accident.
But I knew when I was doing that vocal style, I knew I had something. I knew it was something unlike anything else. I just knew it was. It was something very new, you know, and I had to keep working at it and perfect it, you know. So, yeah, I was not at the hair salon. I was not at the grocery store. I was sitting in my room in my mom's old house in my bed.
You're sitting naked on a beanbag.
Yeah, I'm sitting naked in a beanbag chair. Yes. Balls to the walls, baby. Wood on wood.
Okay. No!
Sorry.
No, that was great. There, that's where we want you.
That's right.
This is where we live, my brother.
Yes. The erection took place at approximately 2:30 in the morning.
What is your songwriting process like?
My songwriting process is pretty simple. I I was walking to the grocery store with a cart, and I had some bananas in my pocket. And then,
all right, Brent, we found your little brother that you never had. So I'm gonna let you just go ahead, and I'm just gonna.
Oh, that's great.
No, but what happens a lot of times, I just kind of hear the song. I'm just, you know, start strumming guitar and just kind of being vulnerable and accidental prone, as we like to call it, as songwriters go. And I just kind of start hearing the melody in my head and like a vocal line or something. And I take a line or two and I just start mumbling or talking gibberish and, you know, and just start recording, you know, and that, you know, I just kind of starts with like a line or two and like a little lick. And then I'm like, okay, got I have the vocals. I have the, you know, the vocal melody that I like, and I have the guitar line that I like, and feels good. It feels right. And then I kind of just branch it off there. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, I always write down the lyrics, you know, 10 pages long. That's way more than I actually need. So I kind of like chop off the fat a little bit. And then I just, you know, it's kind of like I'm building a sculpture, you know, a piece of art. And yeah, so that's kind of like what I do as a songwriter, like when I'm building a song, you know, in a sense. Yeah, I'm not like too nitpicky. I just kind of like let it flow naturally, not trying to think about it too much. Sometimes I do think about it too much, and that's when the song never gets done. But I never, you know,
do the bananas get in the way?
The bananas get in the way. The moldy ones do. The squishy ones, they do. The squishy ones do.
But they probably feel good in other ways.
Oh, they do when I step on them?
Is it the front left or right pocket?
Oh, it's the right pocket, right on the tip. Just kind of nibbles
just
in there.
The tip. Just
yeah.
The tip.
Yeah, just the tip. Yeah.
I like Z-Man.
Yeah, I like you too. I kind of figured you would.
I like you too.
You're my friend.
We're friends. Yeah,
we're friends now.
Besties.
I'm going to call my mom, tell her I made a new friend. Yes. Mom, you're on line one.
Be funny. I call my mom and she'd be, how the fuck did you get this number?
Yeah, how the fuck did you get this? Leave me alone. I don't want any newspapers.
I spent 18 years with you. That's enough for anybody.
Yeah.
Okay. So we talked a little bit, or I don't think we talked about it. I just said the video for Hot Coals was really cool. So I have two questions. How long did that take? And where did you get that fucking suit? Because that suit is on point.
Luckily, you know, my landlord that I live next door to, he we live in Fairview, North Carolina, and there is a consignment like a little vintage store, Lulu's consignment store, and he texts me. He's like, "Dude, look at this suit. I got this. Look at the suit. It's on sale. It's like so good." And I'm like, "Oh my god, it's there right now." I'm like, he's like, "It's a small." I'm like, "All right, cool." So I literally dropped my guitar, not dropped it, but you know, I put it down, and then I'm like, I'm going there immediately because I need this fucking suit, you know. So thankfully he messaged me and I got the suit immediately, and I'm like, okay, because I needed because at the time I'm like, I need a cool outfit for Hot Coals music video, and I'm like, this is perfect for it, you know. I ended up calling my friend Craig, who's a videographer here in Asheville. Met up with him. He's got his own little Sunroom production studio here. And we went to the River Arts District, shot some cool film down there. And where else did we go? We also went downtown Asheville too, at a couple spots. The beginning of that song is in downtown Asheville. He brought like his little tiny guitar I picked up off the sidewalk. That was his idea.
Yeah.
That was really cool. So we're like, the song kind of like, yeah, it was a cool idea. Like we're going inside the song, which is inside that little guitar, you know? It was kind of like, it's kind of like a trip, you know?
It is a trip.
It was pretty sweet.
I really liked it.
Thank you.
That suit is everything, though.
It is.
Is that like hand? Is it like embroidery? Because it looks like it is. Dude.
It is. Yeah, it's pretty sick.
And it's a cool video, the going inside that, yeah.
Northeastern wind. Oh, come on, little girl, now let it. rock and la da 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 la da 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 la da 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 la da 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 da
Before we move on to the Patreon stuff, why don't you run down where people can buy your music, where they can find you on social media, all of that.
So you can find all my social media, all my links. Just look me up under the Z-Man Experience. All one word or all three words. And then
mush together.
Yeah, mush together. There you go. Spotify, iTunes, Deezer, YouTube, all that good stuff.
You're welcome. Hey, thanks for signing on with us tonight and listening. That was a great interview. I really liked
I had a lot of fun. Man.
He didn't have his facial hair, which I have a problem with.
No, I think it looks good.
No, he does.
I like it.
I mean, it does look good, but I was expecting the
Zappa
stash.
You were excited about the stash? No, I like
it. I was. You know, so I was like surprised.
All right.
But it was a good intro. I mean, a good interview. Not a good intro. It was a good intro,
it
actually.
It was a good intro, I guess.
And a good interview. So I hope y'all liked it. If y'all haven't had a chance to go check out the Everclear interview, y'all need to do that because I totally got Art on that one. Totally got him. I was probably the most sarcastic I've ever been. And then he started laughing after he got it.
And our last episode with Panasonic is also a really good episode. We kind of didn't let Brett talk much, but it was fun for me.
Y'all didn't. So
you should go back and listen to our stuff. There's 155 episodes before this one.
101.
And if you like this, and if you like this episode, you'll like some of those episodes at least, if not all.
You'll like some of them.
You know, not every kind of music's for everybody, so I get it. I get it.
It will almost make you feel better.
You'll get to see how we've, I don't know. Anyway, make sure you like, yeah, that's it. Make sure you like, follow, subscribe, share, and download. Make sure you are clicking those links below to show this artist some love.
Also, go to our Patreon and become a patron. Not a Hatreon, a Patreon. Okay, y'all?
A patron, not a Patreon.
Daddy needs a new pair of shoes. Come on, people. Let's go.
Mama wants to pay her electric bill. That's it. I'm not asking for much. Just one job. One job in the pot. That would be great. That would be fantastic if I could just do those two things. That'd be amazing. Amazeballs. Why did I sing that? I'm so cringe when I heard. I don't know.
Well, you know what? I feel sad for them because they're really missing out on something if they don't go get the Patreon. Because now we're putting all this bonus footage, and there will be a lot.
Don't say footage. They're expecting video.
I'm sorry. Audio footage that you're not going to get on the public one. This is just for our patrons. Thank y'all for hanging out. And remember to make.